W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This podcast is supported by Elite Sports Travel. Visit elitesportstravel.co.uk to view the various packages available to watch live NFL games in the US. Bookings are currently available for the Super Bowl in February and also the 2023 season in Las Vegas. Now let's get into the podcast.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Neil Reynolds Podcast. Now, if you've been listening to this show recently, or you've been listening since the year dot when we launched the series, you'll know this is not Neil Reynolds. It is indeed producer Gary, a voice you're getting maybe a little bit more used to than you should in the most recent weeks. However, I'm just here at the start of this episode just to say that while we're recording this, when you're in London and your guest is in New York on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, sometimes modern technology can let you down. So we had a few technical issues with Neil's microphone and a few issues with the internet and the way we were connecting. So this is just me saying that bear with us on this episode, because it is a great interview that Neil's done with DJ Reed of the New York Jets. He's one of the star defenders of the 2022 season. He's been in red hot form along with his teammates at the Jets, and this interview is all about his route and struggle into the NFL. Now, we hope you enjoy it as much as we did when we were recording it, save for the technical issues that we had. So if you can get beyond that, we think you're going to really enjoy this episode with DJ Reed. So here is Neil and DJ Reed having their conversation about his rise from high school right through to the NFL.
So, DJ, thank you for joining me on the Neil Reynolds Podcast. I wanted to get you on to tell your story, because I was talking to you a couple of weeks back about your journey to the NFL when you were with we were on the Jets website. I thought it was fascinating. So just a real story of perseverance and dedication. Let's start with growing up. How important was football to you as a young child, and how much did your family kind of encourage you to play?
Yeah, so growing up, my mom and dad were married originally, and they did a great job introducing me to a lot of sports. So I played a lot of sports. I wrestled. My dad, he's from Iowa, and that's like a big wrestling community over there. So I wrestled. I ran track. My mom, she ran track. She's from Texarkana. So she was, you know, the way she describes it, she was an elite track runner. So I get, you know, some genetics from both of them. I also play soccer, which I think that really helped me with just my hand and feet coordination and just coordination, be able to control the ball like that. Even play tennis. Like, my mom and dad did a great job of just having me play a lot of sports, play basketball. That was really what I loved doing the most, actually, even in high school, was playing basketball. And also I played football, and I love playing football. I was just naturally good at football, just very athletic. Played offense and defense, and just had a knack for just making big plays. So football honestly wasn't my first love. It was actually basketball.
Okay. And do you think playing multiple sports helped you? Like you said, all those different aspects of it that you could take into, I guess, even what you do now in the NFL.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, things that I could do, I think is a credit to like my mom and dad putting me in sports when I was younger. I definitely feel like it helped me become an overall better football player. So I would definitely like recommend parents to put their kids in multiple sports, especially even if they want to specialize in one sport. I think it's still smart to put them in more than one sport so they could, you know, have a better overall athleticism, in my opinion.
So I want to talk about your journey. I think it was fascinating. Probably not necessarily fascinating when you're in it. It was probably quite the grind as you were trying to go through it.
Yeah, man. Going through it, it felt like a circus. Just not really knowing, a lot of uncertainty, nothing solidified. So just in high school, I just had no offers in football. And part of that was because I went to a small high school, And also a part of it was I wasn't really going to football camps. I thought that, you know, if you're good enough, you would just get recruited from your high school. But that was not the case. I had no offers. So me and my older brother took a trip to Fresno State to give them my huddle film. And I was talking to the running backs coach, and he said, you know, if we have a walk-on spot, we will call you. And surely enough, 2 weeks later, they called me and said, like, hey, we have a walk-on spot for you to come. So, I mean, if you know about walk-ons, pretty much nothing is, you know, given to you. You still have to pay your way through college. And the goal was, you know, after they see me for 1 year, that they will offer me. That was like the dream goal. And, you know, I redshirted. And it was tough, bro. Like, it's just little things when you're not on scholarship. Like, you don't get to eat with the scholarship guys. You got to go eat with the regular people, even though you are doing the same work that they're doing, and they're getting, like, you know, the quality food. And it was just tough. Like, even just not being treated the same, as far as, like, I'm outperforming somebody, but the coaches are ignoring it because they want to play their scholarship guy because they're paying for him. And at the time, it was frustrating, but now that I'm older, I understand it because it's a business. So you want to, if you put money into something, you want to get your investment with that money. So, I mean, I get it, but it was just really frustrating to go through that. So, you know, I was at a low point my first year in college. I was just feeling really uncertain about, like, is this really worth it? Am I good enough? Et cetera, et cetera. Did a lot of praying, asking God to give me, like, a clear indicator that I need to leave. And I felt like, when I got my spring evaluation, you know, they pretty much told me they just see me as a special teams player. They don't see me contributing on defense. So that was like my go-to sign to, you know, get up out of there and see if I could, you know, make something else work. And yeah, man, end up going to a JUCO the next year, Cerritos Community College. And man, that was one of the best times of my life. It was a struggle, but I still have two best friends. Two of my best friends are from JUCO, just sharing that same struggle, Brennan Ezell and Elijah Walker. And yeah, man, JUCO was a struggle, bro. Just my living situation was crazy. I was living with like 8 guys in a small 2-bedroom apartment, sleeping on this futon, sleeping on the floor, switching with the guys. It was tough. Just the food, it was uncertainty, probably eating a Lego Eggo waffle with peanut butter for breakfast, a 7-Eleven pizza for dinner, splitting it with my guys. You know, if I did have some change, went to Chipotle when I could to try to eat, you know, rice, beans with chicken, like something kind of healthy. But I remember there was one game we played Hancock, and me and my bro Elijah, we didn't even eat. We didn't have any money, so we didn't eat, and we played in the game, and we're just like, bro, like that's crazy. Yeah, I can't believe we did that. We drove like 2 hours on the bus and just played a game with an empty stomach. And it was just like, man, we were just staying positive, just watching. What used to motivate us is we used to watch a lot of college football highlights of like D1 athletes, like Tyrann Mathews. He plays safety, so he would watch safeties. I would watch corners, like Tyrann Mathews. I used to watch Jason Verrett and just a lot of DBs that were in college that were going to the league. And it just gave us inspiration to just keep going. And you know, when we get to that D1 level, we're going to take full advantage of it.
How far, and maybe it wasn't even, because this is probably too fanciful now to think about it, because you were probably just worried about where the next meal was coming from, quite literally. How far away did the NFL seem in your life at that point? Probably couldn't have even been, even in the wildest dreams, could it?
I mean, that was always the goal. So, like, my mindset was really just, I really told myself I just want to take the process one by one. So I was focused on, when I was in JUCO, just going to a D1. And then once I got the offer to Kansas State, my focus was, okay, now you're going to ball at Kansas State and you're going to go to the NFL. I'm going to make it obvious that I'm good enough to play in the NFL when I get my shot. And that's what I did, man. I worked really hard in college. Probably worked too hard. You know, I definitely would say that if I could go back, I would probably enjoy it a little bit more. Like, I'm starting to do that now. Like, obviously I'm still working hard, but you know, I'm enjoying it more. Like, my off days, I'm doing stuff. Like, for example, today I'm going to the Knicks game. Like, I'm actually enjoying my life and just balancing it instead of just football, 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 because that's unhealthy. So I definitely would have changed that a little bit when I was in college.
Before we leave the JUCO bit behind, obviously as an NFL player now, and we'll get onto your NFL career in a second, you turn up at the facility, you're provided with breakfast, you are provided with lunch, dinner, all the food you can have, the traffic, every nutrition you need, it will tell you how to eat what and where and when. Do you get used to that, or do you really stay grateful for that because of how it was for you in the past?
Grateful, man. Like, so much gratitude. Every time I eat, I just say a prayer. Just thank you, God, for this food. You know, appreciate you for providing this food. Like, just don't take that for granted. And I think that's because of the situation that I was in when I was in JUCO. And growing up, but more so when I was in JUCO, it was a real struggle. Like, at least, when I was living with my mom, she would cook, meals. So just in JUCO, it was tough. Just had to figure it out. So, I have so much gratitude just to be able to eat meals every day.
That's fantastic. So you went to Kansas State and you played well there enough to get drafted into the NFL. Fifth round draft pick of the San Francisco 49ers. I've had a lot of people on this podcast who get annoyed that they were a third round pick or a second round pick or a fourth round pick. Again, the question kind of goes, everything's kind of colored by your journey. So I wonder, were you just grateful again to be a fifth round draft pick and you are in the NFL, or was there still a part of you, the competitor, was like, I should have gone a bit earlier?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely the competitor in me. I felt like I should have gone a little bit earlier. I just remember, I was drafted in the fifth round, pick 142, and there was 23 cornerbacks drafted ahead of me. And I just remember, the season that I had, I was an All-American, and it was I think the All-Americans were Denzel Ward, Jair Alexander, and myself. And I want to say Mike Hughes was All-American too. And all those guys got drafted in the first round. So it was just, I remember going through the whole draft process and they were just saying, your height, you're going to be a slot corner for us. And I was just like, Jair Alexander, Denzel Ward, they're 5'10". They're like an inch or 2 inches taller than me. Like, Mike Hughes is an inch taller than me and they're in the first round. So it didn't make sense to me. But I mean, everything played out how it was supposed to play out.
Do you think it was the inch that made the difference?
Yeah, like there's teams that won't draft you if you don't meet a height measurement. And I feel like, everything happens for a reason, because I feel like when I went to Seattle, I kind of broke that mold, because they were drafting corners that were 6 foot plus. And then once I played corner and played well, they drafted Trey Brown in the fourth round, which they don't really draft cornerbacks to play outside that are 5'9", 5'10", in Seattle. So I definitely helped break that mold. And I think now a lot of people in personnel are starting to say, hey, like, if he could play, he could play.
Yeah, that's the important thing, right? Just to break those numbers, get rid of those numbers and just see if you can play football. Absolutely. So with the 49ers, let's talk Super Bowl week and the Super Bowl loss. So the whole week, how it was, and then, are you trying to run for your life once that confetti's falling on you when it's not in your color? What was that like, if you don't mind me asking?
No, it's fine. The Super Bowl experience was just a dream come true, first of all. Just the whole, you're getting interviewed every day. People are asking you crazy questions, trying to find a story, like crazy questions. And sometimes you have to just say, like, hey, I don't want to answer that. I don't feel comfortable answering. They're just trying to find a story. Like it's really crazy, but the whole experience was beautiful, bro. It was a dream. Like you watched that as a kid your whole life, and now I'm like playing in it. And I didn't even play defense in it, but I was just on special teams, and it was still like dope. Like it was crazy, bro. Like all this
flash bulbs going off when you're running down on kickoff. You always see those images, bro.
It was a lot of flashes. Like that was one thing. The first kickoff, me and Jimmy Ward had the first tackle. And I just remember just flashes everywhere. But that Super Bowl, it was tough, because we were up by 10 in the fourth quarter, 7 minutes left. And, Pat Mahomes did his magic, but it just felt fake when we lost, because we were supposed to win that game. We're up by 10 in the fourth. And I just remember blinking a lot. Like I was just, it was crazy because the confetti was red and gold, which is, it looks similar to our confetti. We were red and Niners. So when it was coming down, I was just blinking like, damn, I was just in Super Bowl. Like we can't play that again. And then the crazy thing about it is, like, you never know when you're going to go back to Super Bowl. So, like, that's the part that's, like, that hurts because, like, you got to really take advantage of that situation when you get there.
Yeah, absolutely. The business side of it, what was it like to be – I hope you don't mind some of these, but this is great insight for fans to go into your life and your journey, and it is a business. And when you get cut by the 49ers, what's that process like? And did it kind of – I guess you could go two ways where it deflates you, or you're kind of like, well, I'm going to go again. I'm going to kick on and I'm going to fight on. How was that process for you?
Yeah. So, you know, I already had an idea that it was a possibility that I was going to get released after I tore my pec. The reason being was because I wasn't a solidified starter in San Francisco. I was just playing special teams and I was coming off the bench to play nickel if our starting nickel got hurt. So my whole thought process was, you know, they can release me just because, you know, pec surgery is a long recovery and, you know, they're going to need that roster spot. That's just part of the business. So that was definitely on my mind. And then, you know, when we call them the Reapers, when a random guy came up to me, it was like, you know, John Lynch wants to talk to you. I was talking to my friend Deontay Johnson and I looked at him. I said, well, it's been real, bro. So like,
you know.
It wasn't really like F the Niners or like, it wasn't anything like that. Like I already understood the business. I've already seen people getting released. Like that's just part of the business. So just talking to John Lynch, you know, he said like, we drafted you. We think highly of you. Like he said everything positive. And he was pretty much just like, you know, you've helped us get to the Super Bowl. You've been a big part of this. But unfortunately, we have to release you and we're going to bring you back. But you're going to be on IR. You're going to be done for the whole year. So I was like, okay, like appreciate you. And he was like, if you want to talk to Shanahan, he's in his office. I didn't speak to Shanahan, but yeah, it was just, you know, it was just what it was. Like, I didn't take it personal, but in the back of my mind, I was just like, you know, I'm going to just get healthy. That was my main focus was let's get healthy, play football. So talking to my agent as well, he didn't think that I would get picked up because I just tore my pec. So my thought process was I'm going to just chill with my family, chill with my friends, chill with my dog, and just get healthy and just, you know, spend this time with my family, really. But the next day, my agent called me at like 11 a.m. like, hey, man. Three teams are interested in you. And I was like, for real? He was like, yeah, they're thinking about claiming you. And I believe the three teams were Seattle, the Bills, and I think the Houston Texans. So I was just like, oh, like, okay. And then at 12 o'clock, he called me and said, you're officially a Seattle Seahawk. So I talked to John Lynch on the phone. I mean, John Snyder, my fault. I talked to John Snyder on the phone.
John Strait.
Yeah, he just asked me, like, are you trying to play this year? And I was like, yeah, like, I could get healthy as soon as possible and contribute this year. And he said, okay, our focus is just getting you healthy. And then, you know, we love your film. See what you could do for us. And I don't think they thought that I could play outside corner. I think they were just primarily wanting me to play nickel. But with injuries and everything that happened, I got my shot at outside corner.
And what do you think? What do you think made you grow to become the starting outside corner? You know, one of the top corners in the NFL, which we've seen already this season. When you were in Seattle and then you go on to the Jets, what do you think it was that helped you take that next step? Do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a few things, but I honestly think that I just wasn't ever given a fair chance to play outside cornerback in the league, like. I was on the Niners. They had me playing safety and slot corner, nickel. Never played outside. They didn't even put me there because they were looking at the prototypical measurements and all that. So I always think like, man, like, because I came in with Denzel and Jair. I'm like, man, if I would have been playing corner, I wonder where I would be at with the rankings and all that. But I can't really think like that because of injuries and you don't know what could happen. But just focusing on what's important. I feel like before that, my mind was kind of everywhere. My first and second year in the league, I was just trying to figure it out. My mind was everywhere. I was a single man, so you know what I mean? Like, I was just out there just being a guy. But yeah, definitely just got my mind in the right place where it needed to be. And just having someone to talk to is just very beneficial, especially in professional realms. And even if you're just working a regular job or doing whatever you're doing, I feel like having someone to talk to that's a judge-free zone is very beneficial to your mental health.
I guess when you go out of the door at a certain organization as well, you have to be careful how you leave that franchise, because you parted ways with the 49ers, but you reunited with Robert Saleh now with the Jets. So it's a very small world, isn't it, the football world? And what an exciting time to be with the Jets. Can you feel it every time you walk into that building now with what Coach Saleh's building there?
Yeah, man, it's beautiful. Like, they did a great job of bringing in guys who truly love football. It's just fun playing with guys that, you know, are giving it their all. We don't hold anything back. Like I said, when that fourth quarter comes, we all get excited because we're going all out, man. And it's just fun beating teams that way. And that's what we've been doing the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's very exciting to watch. Where do you see yourself going then when you look at the likes of Jaire Alexander and Denzel Ward? And you know where I'm going with this one. The kind of deals they've been able to sign, or would your resilience coach tell you to just concentrate one game at a time, one snap at a time?
Yeah, man, I just, like, I'm to the point now where I feel like I used to do it for the outside noise, as far as, like, I'll get these accolades, I want to prove my worth. Like, that's what I've been doing my whole career, like, showing that I'm good enough. Now I'm to the point where it's more internal. It's more for me. The goals that I set, the goals that I want to achieve, team goals and, you know, my own goals or whatever, it's all internal now. Like, I don't really care about the external noise, the outside voices. It doesn't really faze me anymore. But I had to learn that, though, with the help of my resilience coach.
Yeah. And they say sometimes with players, you kind of, your experience and your athleticism, one will go that way and one will go that, but there's that sweet spot where they kind of meet, where you feel you've got so much of that experience and you're still at the top of your game. Are you there?
Yeah, I would say I'm there. Like I said, I'm only 25, but I've been around, you know, it's my fifth season. So, I mean,
You've lived a lot.
I've learned a lot from a lot of guys. Richard Sherman was one when I was in San Francisco. I learned a lot from him. Learned a lot from Dunbar in Seattle, another very smart football player. Just picking the minds of a lot of guys, Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs, just being around different defensive-minded coaches, Saleh, Ken Norton, Pete Carroll, and just picking minds and seeing what works for me and just using it to my game, adding it to my toolbox. Definitely learned a lot from all the coaches that I've been around the NFL.
You mentioned just a minute ago, this last one, you mentioned you enjoy it more now. You allow yourself to enjoy it and obviously doing stuff around the game. When you're actually in the building, what bits do you enjoy? Because some people talk about the process. Some people, Brett Favre famously used to say practice was just to get ready for Sunday. You know, I play for free on Sundays. Which bits of it do you really enjoy?
I enjoy Sundays. Like, don't get me wrong, the process, you got to go through it. You got to do it. You got to be deliberate with it. But that's to be free on Sunday. Like, Sunday is just when I tell my coach, like, hey, man, Sunday – hey, you can't coach me on Sunday. You had all week to coach me. Like, now it's my day. Let me do what I do. But now we're going to sideline, make corrections and all that. But yeah, man, Sundays is just, I feel like I'm just my authentic self when I'm playing on Sundays for those 2-3 hours that we get to play.
So that's interesting because in a way, you've got to do all the preparation and there will be a technical side to it. But there's a bit of the kid that comes out in you on Sundays?
Most definitely. The little kid in me comes out on Sundays, just playing free, man. You could hit somebody and not get in trouble. It's just fun, man. It's just fun, especially playing corner. Like, we literally on an island, and if you're holding your own on the island, you're strapping guys down, and it's just like, man, you really, like, you could watch film and stuff, but you really don't know what they're running. And the fact that you're locking him down, just just shows your dominance over them. And it's just fun when you know a receiver knows that you're like that and they can't do anything about it and they're just quiet and they just want to, you know, they're checking out, they want to go home.
You know you got them then. That's when you know you got them.
Yeah, that's a great feeling, man. It's a great feeling.
And of course, that green and white confetti. Let's hope one day that's going to look nice. That's the goal, right?
Hope it's this year, man. Hope it's this year. Man.
Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. Production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.